Sorry. Okay, so we're going to pick up at the Gemara. I'm sorry, today's daf is daf Chav Dalet Amud Aleph. Daf Chav Dalet. We're going to pick up on Chav Gimel Amud Beis at the Gemara. Two Mishnayos up. So whatever that is. About 18 lines up from the bottom. Okay, so the Gemara says, Lamali Lameimar Hapoda Poda. So the question is as follows, that in this case we were dealing with the case of someone who was makdish his property when he had a lien on it or an encumbrance on it, and the idea, we said, is that they have to give at least a nominal sum, and the question is, why does he have to give anything? At the end of the day, if he was makdish something that was subject to a lien, the person with the lien should be able to just come and take it. So we say, Mishum Deravavo, and the reason he could just take it is because Hekdesh can't get anything more than what the owner had. If the owner was subject to this encumbrance, then Hekdesh should be subject to the same encumbrance, and therefore you should just be able to take it. We say Mishum Deravavo because of what Rabavo said, Rabavo, Shelo Yomru Hekdesh Yotze Below Pidyon. Because we don't want, on earth, the reason we make him give something to be poda, even a little bit, is just so that people shouldn't see this transaction. Because if we were to let him just go ahead and take it because he had a lien, maybe people would not understand that he had a lien, and they would think you can just take property of Hekdesh without redemption. Here, there's redemption. They see there's redemption. The amount of redemption, that's something that's they'll figure out with the Gizbar, but at least people would see there needs to be some form of pidyon. Continues the Gemara. Masnis in the local Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Our Mishnah is not in accordance with the halacha of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. This time, because we learned in a brisa as follows: Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Omer Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, "Imhaya chova." I'm sorry. By the way, I should have said at the beginning that our Talmud Torah sponsor this month is Uncle Mike Holtzman, and thank you very much. And in honor of the people in the shul and the Rav and others. Okay, sorry. So we're saying our mission is not like Rav Shimon Gamliel because we learned in the Braisa Rav Shimon Gamliel says, Imhayachovo keneged hekdesho poda vimlave no poda. Rav Shimon Gamliel has an interesting halacha, which is he basically says that if the security, whatever it is that's securing the loan, is sufficient to cover the loan, then hekdesh in this case, so we say as follows, that if the security is sufficient to cover it, so then the person has an encumbrance because they lent the money on the basis that they would be able to go after this asset and get it. Vimlav, but if the value of the asset, let's say the value of the asset is $100, and he's owed $150, then according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, he would not be able to collect. Why? Because from the fact that he agreed to take a security of an asset that was less than the money he was putting forth, it shows that he wasn't really relying on the asset being there. And if he wasn't really relying on it, so then it doesn't take effect, particularly in this case when he's makdish it. So whereas our Mishnah brought a case where he was makdish something that was worth 90 mana and his chov was his debt was 100 mana. So this is a case where the asset was insufficient. So according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, then the security is not really a security because he took a security that was worth less than his loan, shows he wasn't really relying on the security. But yet we see that our Mishnah says, despite the fact that the asset was worth less than the debt, nonetheless we let him be poded at this low rate. So we see that our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. So ask the Gemara of Rabbanan ad kama. So presumably the Rabbanan buy into this concept at some level, because if I took a $5 security for a $100 loan, obviously I wasn't really relying on it. So the question is, at what point would the Rabbanan agree to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel and say, this is too small of an amount of security to say that he was really relying on it? I'm Rav Huna by Yehuda, I'm Rav Sheshes ad palga. Rav Huna, the son of Rav Yehuda, says the name of Rav Sheshes, that until half. So according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, let's say you had a $60 asset securing $100. So according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, 60 is less than 100. So therefore, we can't assume that he was truly relying on the 60 and you would not be able to be poded. According to the Rabbanan, you would be able to be poded. But if it was, let's say, worth $40, so it's less than half the debt, so then the Rabbanan would agree with Rav Shimon Gamliel that you can't say that he was relying on it, and therefore we would not let him be poded for hekdesh for less than it's just for a nominal sum, You would not be able to look to the asset of Hekdesh to satisfy this debt. Okay, says the Mishnah. Afal pisha amru chayve erechin memashkinin oson. So we learned this before in the Mishnah that if someone makes an erech vow and he doesn't pay it or whatever, that was a question over there exactly when this would happen, but the gizbar would come and take away his assets. So now we're going to deal with what in modern day parlance might be called a homestead exemption. There are certain things that if, let's say, in bankruptcy, there are certain things that you can keep. So here also we're going to talk about that. So what are the things that we would not take assets from him in order to secure? Which assets would we leave him with so that he's able to live? And we'll see the source for the idea that you leave him anything. Says the Mishnah, Nosan al mazon shoshim yom. You give him 30 days worth of food. So you don't take his last, you don't clean out his cupboards, you leave him some food for 30 days. Uksus shnemasar chodesh, you leave him enough clothes that he needs in the course of a year. Mita motzas, that you give him his bed and his linens. V'sandalov, you don't take away his shoes. V'tfilov, and you leave him his tefillin. Lo avalole ishto levanov, that for him we leave him all these things, but not necessarily for his wife and his children. And what we're going to see is, in fact, that it's not that we take away clothing of his wife and children. That we're going to see in the Mishnah momentarily, that they don't take that. But what this is talking about is, if the guy let's say he doesn't have enough food in his cupboard for 30 days, so you're going to let him have enough money that he would take to buy it. So in this case, like when we talk about, in other words, we're going to see that his wife and children, you don't take away their clothing, but you wouldn't leave him money in order to buy them clothing. But for himself, if he didn't have enough money he didn't have enough clothing for what he needs for 12 months, you would leave him enough money that he could secure the clothing he needs. Okay, continues the mission. Mahaya Uman, if he was a worker, a craftsman, he had a certain craft. Nosano shnei klei umnes mikol min umin. That whatever his field is, however many tools you need for doing it, you let him have one primary tool and a spare tool. So basically, the mission is going to give examples. So I don't need to give examples. Charash, if you have a carpenter, nosan lo shnei matzadin u'shnei megeros. That you're going to give him two matzad, spelled mem-ayin, I think, but is a plane. It's a thing you use, a tool that you use to make a smooth surface that you shave off that top edge. It's something that a carpenter uses. A mageros are a saw. So you leave him two of those. Rabbi Eliezer, Amar Rabbi Eliezer says, Imhaya Ikar, if he was a farmer, Noson like Simdo, you give him his animals, his oxen. Chamar, if he was a donkey driver, Noson like Chamor, you give him his Chamor. And we're going to see this is specifically Rabbi Eliezer's halacha. The Chamor are going to argue, and we'll see in the Gemara why. Hayalo min echad marubo min echad muot. So let's say he had multiples of something. He had the case we'll use is he had three matzadin and only one magera. So he had three planes and one saw. So we say as follows. So we might think. So if he had three of one and one of the other, ein omer or ein omer limkar es amaruba v'likach es amuot. We don't let him say, okay, I know I have three of one and one of the other. I'm going to sell the third plane and I'm going to buy myself a second saw. He could make an argument for that, but we're saying, no, it doesn't work that way. Ella, nosen lo shnei minim and a merubim. We let him keep two of his three planes. One of them, Hektish, is going to take away. And whatever he has of the one that he only has one, in this case a saw, that we let him keep, but we don't let him use the third plane to get himself a second saw. So we'll take away one of his planes, we'll leave him two planes and one saw. That's the case the Gemara is going to use, so we'll use that. Continues the Mishnah, Hamakdish Nechasov, Malin Lo Tfilov. That if someone is makdish his nechasim, then we actually take his tefillin away, and the poskim say not only his tefillin, but his other things as well. So what are we talking about here? We were talking until now about someone who made an erech vow, and we were just taking security from him. We were taking a mashkin so that he would pay it, or some understand that he would liquidate it, but the idea is that we're trying to secure his erech vow. Versus if someone is makdish his nechasim, So then it's not a judgment of what do we want to leave him, as much as it's all his possessions, although we'll see that that there are exceptions. But in any event, the idea would be that if someone's makdish his nechasim, so then even his tefillin is included, and he would have to give, to Hektish, and Rashi seems to say that he can be poded. Rashi says a poda oson, that somehow he's entitled to be poda his tefillin. Okay, says the Gemara, my time of the Amar Kra, in other words, where does this idea come from that we don't take all of his assets? So we're now at the top of Chav Dal Amun Aleph. The Pasuk says, by Erechim v'yamachu me'erkecha, that it's, we talked about the fact, this is Hesed Yad, that if someone has, if he's too poor, so then you assess how much he has to pay. So that's the main halach of this pasuk, but we're going to darshan this pasuk in an interesting way, because there's a word that's extra here. It didn't need to say who. It could have just said, v'yimach me'erkecha, if he's too poor for his erech, so that you evaluate how much can he pay. What did we need the word who for? The word who is extra. And as we know, that who we often darshan as havaya, as being, as existing. So the way we're going to read the pasuk is as follows. V'yimach, if he's poor, hu me'erkecha, which is haveyu, that he should be, Rashi says, darshinan, and the Gemara says, hachiyeyu me'erkecha, that the idea is that havaya, that his being, that in other words, with his erech, you still have to allow him to be, you have to allow him to exist. So that's the basis for this idea that's reflected in our Mishnah, that there are certain assets we're not going to take for him, because despite his having made an erech vow, we want him to have enough to live on, hachayo me'erkecha, and therefore that's the source for this idea that you leave him certain assets. Said the Mishnah, avalo li'isho vanav, we said that he's entitled to keep these things, but we wouldn't leave him money for his wife and children to buy these things. My time, why aren't we fair to his wife and children? Says the Gemara, hu me'erkecha v'lo ishto v'necho me'erkecha. That since the source of this idea is he me'erkecha, him. Now obviously, though, we were darshaning hu as havaya, but in the ordinary course it means v'mach hu me'erkecha, him from his erech. So it's him and not the remaining members of his family. Rabbi Eliezer Omer imhaya ikar nosan leitzimdo, that if he was a farmer, you give him his animals. So the question is Rabbanan. What about the Rabbanan? So it seems this is only Allah according to Rabbi Eliezer. What about according to the Rabbanan? Why don't they let him keep it? At the end of the day, this is his parnasa. So says the Gemara, hanu lav kli omnes ninu el nesachim el nechasim ninu. These are not, at some point you have to draw the line between what's considered like an asset, an investment, versus what's his trade. And so even though he uses an asset for his trade, but I mean, similarly, if someone's business was renting a house for an apartment, at the end of the day, we're not going to say that's his kli umnis. We're going to say that's an asset, and assets need to be impounded. So sometimes it's not good to be in real estate, and you're better off being an umman. But in any event, continues the Gemara. So he said as follows, that if a guy had three planes, we used the example, and one saw, we don't let him swap out one plane for the saw. So the Gemara says, Pshita, what's the chiddush of this? This is obvious, because if he was able to function until now with one saw, why would we give him another saw? Let him stay with the system he had. So says the Gemara, Ma detaim, I'll tell you why I would have thought differently. Ad ho idna da havele la shule, have mishule le. Hasha deleka de mashule lo. So we say, it says as follows. The guy, remember the case, he had three planes. So, how many did he need? He needs two. He needs one and a spare. So what would he do with the third one? He used to lend it out to other people. So when he would lend it out to other people, so then they would lend him what he needed. So therefore, he would lend out his plane, and people would lend him a saw. But if we're going to take away his third plane, he's not going to have one to lend, and then people aren't going to lend him a saw. So I might think, therefore, we let him either keep the three planes so he can continue this arrangement, or sell the plane and buy himself a second saw. Says the Gemara, Kamash Mulan, that we don't do that. Basically, he has to figure it out. We only let him keep what he has. We don't go out and let him purchase new things with those assets. Says the Gemara, Hamakdish has an chasam malon lo tefillin. So we said that hekdish is different than Then the security you take for an erech, that if he says that he's makdish all of the nechassim, he has to give up his tefillin too. Hahu gaver dizavninu l'nichse. You had this person who sold all of his assets. So also the kamei derav yemar, they came in front of a yemar. Amarle sliku le tefillin. There are tefillah that take off his tefillin. Basically, if he sold everything he's got, that includes his tefillin, and he's gonna have to go buy new tefillin or buy back the tefillin. So the gemara says, my kamash, why are you teaching me with bringing this halach mas nisan he? Our Mishnah says it mefurish, hamakdis nechasiv, malin lo tefillin, tefillah, that if someone is makdish his nechasim, that you take off his tefillin. So what difference does it make? In other words, the question is, what's included in all my assets? So what difference does it make whether he was makdish it, which is the case in our Mishnah, or he sold it in this case of Reb Yemer? So at the end of the day, we see it from the Mishnah. Why did he have to bring me this halacha? So the Gemara says, no, because the halacha I brought here was about someone who sold his assets. And the Mishnah was talking about someone who's makdish his assets. And I can make an argument that those should be different. Mao detay, I might have thought, hasam would discover mitzvah kavidna. That when he was being makdish something to hektish, so he's doing a mitzvah, so he's going to say, okay, I'm a generous guy, I'm going to be makdish to hektish, I'm going to include my tefillin. Aval inyan zavune mitzvah degufei lo zavin inish. But maybe when he's just selling it, he's doing a commercial transaction, so he's going to say, yes, I meant to sell all my assets, but of course not a mitzvah that I'm going to do with my guf. Now, by the way, this mitzvah degufei is interesting because the poskim discussed that while we let him keep, for his erech, we let him keep his tefillin, we don't let him keep, let's say, his tzitzis, his talus. Why not? So they say, because mitzvah degufei is the tefillin is a mitzvah he does with his body. Mitzvah, the tzitzis is a mitzvah demana. It's a mitzvah if you have dalet kamfos, then you have to put on a tzitzis, but he doesn't have an independent duty, so that's this idea of mitzvah degufei. But in any event, here what we're talking about is, maybe I would think there's a distinction between sale and hektish. If he's makdish something, he's saying, fine, all my assets, including my tefillin, and I'm going to have to go find other money to be pulled to my tefillin. But when I sell assets to someone, I wasn't including my tefillin, says the Gemara, Kamash Lan, no, that they're the same, that if he sells all his assets, it includes his tefillin, and that's why we brought the halacha, the Rav Yemer told him he had to remove his tefillin. Says the Mishnah, Echad HaMakdish Nechasav Echad HaMarech Atzmo, that whether someone, on earth before we made a distinction that for the security we take for Erechin, we're not going to take his tefillin or certain other things, but for Hektish, we're going to take everything. But here we're going to say the halacha is the same. Whether someone is makdish his property or he does an Erechin vow, ein lo b'ksus ishtov lo b'ksus banov, that they can't take the clothing of his wife or the clothing of his children. So we said before, they can't buy it for them with money, but if they have it, they can keep it. Now, presumably, this is not coming from the pasuk of Machu Me'erkecha. It's coming from the fact that the clothing that belongs to his wife and children are theirs, not his. So therefore, for his vow, you can't take it. That if he sent some clothes to be dyed for them, in other words, even if they presumably haven't worn it yet, that nonetheless, that's considered designated for them, and it's no longer in his estate. Similarly, if he got them new shoes and they haven't worn it yet, that's what we mean by new. That nonetheless, those are considered his wife and children's assets, and they would not go toward. They would not get taken away. Sandalim chadashim shalachan lishman, new shoes that he bought for them. Afapi she'amru. Now here's a new halacha. Afapi she'amru avadim nimkarim b'ksusan l'shavach. That even though we said that if you're selling an eved. Now what's this talking about? For example, if we're selling assets of Yisomim, which we're always trying to make sure that we get maximum value for the assets of Yisomim. So if we're selling an eved, that you should sell him with a nice set of clothing, put on a nice suit and tie for the Evan when you're going to sell him. Why? Because if you buy him a 30 dinar suit, that his value is going to go up by 100 mana. So spending that $30 is a good investment. You use the assets of the Yisomim to spend $30 because they're going to get an extra $100. So they're making $70 out of this deal. V'chein para, similarly, in mamtinen oso le'itlis, mishubachasi, that if you have a cow and you're going to wait, instead of selling it in an off-market transaction, you're going to take it to the market on the market day. So then it's going to be valued more on the market day. V'chein margalias, if he has a pearl, a stone, a jewel, something, a valuable item, if you take it to the main market in the big city, it's going to end up getting a greater valuation. So while we did say that in a case of, for example, if we are selling assets of a yasam, of an orphan, that we're always careful for their money. So I might think logic would tell us that we should do the same for hektish, because we always try and make sure hektish gets the maximum. But says the Mishnah, ein lehektish ala makom v'shaito. Hektish only has its place and time. So place meaning that you don't have to, hektish would not assume that you go to the big city to sell your stone, or you wouldn't go wait for the market day to in order to sell the cow. So the idea is as follows. While some understand this, the Rambam among them, that this is talking about actually how hektish sells what it sells, Rashi understands that this is really going on this halacha of erechin. And if we're figuring out how much the guy can afford, how much money does he have, and what can he keep or not keep, so then we're going to value things as they're sold here and now. We don't say, so in other words, let's say he has an eved that's worth $50, and we said before, if you spend the extra $30, it's going to sell for $150, right? So I might say, so that gets me another $70 on top of $50, so hektish should value this eved at $120. The answer is no. We don't assume that hektish is going to put a nice suit on the guy, and we value it this way. And Rashi points out that this actually is a benefit for the guy, because Hektish figures out how much is his eved worth, decides his eved is worth 50. He, before he pays, can go sell it on the market day or whatever for the extra $70, and then he gets the extra $70. So he profits in a certain sense here, that while Hektish determining how much he can afford assumes the eved is worth 50, although Hektish knows that he can go spend $30, get an extra $70, they don't take that $70. Says the Gemara, Tana Rabban Vanasana Eker Chobayom Ahu. So we see this pasuk because it says you give him that you give his erech on that day. Shelo Yishem Margolius Lekalim, that you don't wait to sell the stone for the poor person. So in other words, the idea is what we just said. You don't you do it by Yom Ahu you figure out what it's worth on that day. The pasuk continues Kodesh Hashem. So what we learn from that pasuk, although the way Rashi learns is this is a kind of an unrelated thing, we say Stam Ekdeshus L'Bedek Abayis, that the pasuk that tells us Kodesh Hashem tells us that when you are makdish something in the ordinary course, it's considered for Bedek Abayis. It's not considered a cheirim of Kohanim. It's not considered a cheirim of Mizbeach, but rather it is it goes toward Bedek Abayis. Hadron Aloch Shuma Yisalmun. Next parak. Ein makdishin lefnei ayavu pachat mishnei shanim. The way we're going to understand this initially is that you can't be makdish some. Let me just take a moment here to just tell us what we're talking about. We're talking about stei achuza here. So we know that a stei achuza, if someone is makdish, a stei achuza is an ancestral field. So this goes back every yovel, everything returns to the original chalukah, the way Eretz Yisrael was divided up. And we know the halacha is that basically you figure out how many years are left, and there's a formula. You pay 50 slayim for the area of a chomer bezera. So the basic idea is that for a given size of the field, we know that you pay 50 slayim, that's if you get all 50 years, or we'll see exactly how many years, but if you get all of the years of the use. But let's say there's only 5 years left, so you'll pay proportionally you'll pay 10% of what you would otherwise have to pay. And again, we'll figure out the exact calculation. So the idea here is as follows, initially we're understanding that he can't be makdish his field in the 2 years preceding Yovel. So he can be makdish his field and then subsequently redeem it. The idea is he's supposed to redeem it before Yovel. If he doesn't redeem it, then it goes to the Kohanim. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But the idea is you wouldn't be able to makdish it, his field, before Yovel if it's within 2 years of Yovel. So you can be makdish it starting we'll see exactly from when, but sometime after, during or after Yovel, all the way up until 2 years before Yovel, 2 years before Yovel, he can no longer do it. That's how we're initially understanding it. V'logol in achar Yovel pachas mishana achas. And we are not goalet from Yovel less than a year. We're going to see in today's Gemara exactly what that means. Ein mechashvin chadashim lehektish, av lehektish mechashiv chadashim. So we're going to say as follows, that ein mechashvin chadashim lehektish, we'll see this, hopefully if we get as far as we should get today, we'll see that what this means is that, we're going to see that it turns out that he's supposed to give a sela and a pudyan for every year. So the question is, what happens if he's halfway through the year? So we would say maybe he should, for that year, he should pay half a sela and half a pudyan. So we're saying, no, that we don't count months. And if there's, we're going to see the case, the example Rashi gives on Chafei Omen Aleph is that if you have 5.5 years remaining, you're going to give 6 sela and 6 punyan, not 5.5 and a half, so that hektish gets the benefit of being only transacting in full years, not in months. But we're going to see that conversely, hektish, when it's convenient for hektish, they can count months. Rashi gives the example, but it's going to be harder to understand until we learn the next Gemara. So we'll see it. The Gemara itself gives that example tomorrow. Hopefully, that will be the first thing we learn. Again, if we get as far as we should. Says the Gemara of Raminu. So I'll ask you a question. You just said that we can't be makdish a field in the 2 years preceding Yovel. Ask the Gemara. We're at the Gemara on Chavdal Ramad Aleph in the beginning of the Gemara in the new parak. Raminu makdishin ben lefnei Yovel ben la'achar Yovel. The Braisa said that we're makdish a field before Yovel or after Yovel, l'bishnasa Yovel atzma, but during the Yovel year itself, lo yakdish, that you should not be makdish, v'im hikdish ein kedusha. And if you go ahead and are makdish it, that it seems to say that it doesn't have kedusha, so meaning that it's ineffective to be makdish something during the Yovel year. So we're going to get back to this braisa to understand its halacha more specifically, but for right now, the real question is, it says that we can be makdish before or after Yovel, and the question is, our Mishnah seemed to say that you can't be makdish in the 2 years before Yovel. So which is it? Can you or can't you be makdish in the years leading up to Yovel? So we say, Rav Shmuel, Darmi Tavayu. Rav and Shmuel say as follows, Ein makdishin ligoel bigirua pachas mishtei shanim. So he says as follows, so what we're going to say is as follows. It's, you're right. If we see from this braisa that you can be makdish something before Yovel or after Yovel. So our Mishnah, which says you can't be makdish in the 2 years preceding Yovel, is not saying you can't. It's saying you shouldn't. Why? Because Rav and Shmuel both said that if you're gonna be makdish a field in the 2 years preceding Yovel, then you're not going to get the benefit of Girua. Girua is this idea that every year the amount you have to pay for the field to be podet goes down by a sela and a punyan. So if you're 25 years left of Yovel, you only have to pay 25 slayim and 25 punyonim, right? But if we're saying is, if you're makdish, let's say the year before Yovel, so normally you would think, how much can I be podet for? A sela and a punyan. We say no, because it's within the first two, it's within the 2 years preceding Yovel, there's no giron, so you're going to have to pay 50 slayim. So therefore, you could be makdish it. Our Mishnah is telling us you shouldn't be, because if you're going to be makdish it 1 year out, instead of paying a sel and a punyan, you're going to have to pay 50 slayim to redeem it, so it's not such a good idea. So that's what we're saying. Rav Shmuel Darmi Tavaya, both Rav and Shmuel say, Ein makdishin ligol bigirua pachas mishtei shanim, that you can't be makdish something and then pay the reduced amount of only one sela and punyan per year if it's within the 2 years. The kivan de makdish and the go begirua pachas mishtei shanim. Since that halacha is true that you lose your ability to pay the reduced per year amount, yehei adam chasan achasav yayakdish pachas mishtei shanim. That therefore someone should, if he's smart, he's not going to be makdish his field in the 2 years preceding Yovel because he's going to have to pay 50 slime. So if he does it 3 years before, he only has to pay to be pulled at 3 slime and 3 punyonim. But if he would do it within the 2 years before, he'd have to pay 50 slime. So that's, our Mishnah was not saying you can't, it was saying you shouldn't. Says the Gemara, Itmar, Hamakdish Sadeh Bishnasa Yovel Atma. So, if someone is makdish his field during the Yovel year itself, so this is the machlokas we're going to deal with here a while. Rav Amar Kedusha, Rav says that Venosin Chamishim, Rav says that, it works to be makdish the field in the Yovel year. That's, it takes effect. And obviously, the amount of money he needs to give is 50 sloim because Yovel restarted. And now he was makdish the field, so he should have to give 50 sloim. Shmuel Amar, and Shmuel says, "Ini kadosha kol ikar." No, it's not even a valid hektish because during the year of Yovel itself, you can't be makdish a field. Yes, once Yovel ends, you could be makdish a field, but during Yovel itself, you can't be makdish a field. So fundamental machlok is Rav and Shmuel. Rav says you can be makdish it. Shmuel says you cannot be makdish it. Okay, ask the Gemara. Maskef lo Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef asked the question on Shmuel. Bishlomo le'inyan mechira de palik Shmuel alei de Rav ikalim emer kav chomer. So he says as follows. We're going to see that Rav and Shmuel don't only argue whether you could be makdish a field in the year of Yovel, but they also argue about whether you can sell a field during the year of Yovel. So we're going to say here, Rav Yosef is going to say, it makes sense to me why they argue by a sale, but I don't know why they're going to argue by hektish. Why does it make sense to argue by sale? Because ikalamim or kavachomer, because Shmuel has a kavachomer to say why you cannot sell a field during the 50th year. What's that kavachomer? He says, if you had a field that was sold 20 years before Yovel, Yovel is strong enough to uproot that sale, and the asset goes back to the owner. So if you see the power of Yovel is that it can undo an existing, a pre-existing sale, then surely it should be capable of undoing a sale during the Yovel year itself. In other words, if Yovel is mafkia sale, so it should be, surely if it can be mafkia sale that happened 20 years ago, surely it should be able to block a sale that's happening now, and therefore you cannot sell during the Yovel year according to Shmuel. So he has that kavachomer. But in other words, he's saying Shmuel's argument with Rav makes sense in the case of a sale, because Shmuel has a good kavachomer. But that kavachomer doesn't apply in the case of hektish. So why would Rav and Shmuel have the same argument in the case of hektish that they have by sale? Because what is Shmuel's kavachomer? Why do we think there's no kavachomer? Because we're going to say as follows. Vatnan, we learned in the Mishnah that we're going to see later. Not today, but Higi Yovel v'lo nigala kohanim nechnasan l'tochan v'nasan damel. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. So we say as follows. So I mentioned before that he's makdish a field and he's not podeed by Yovel, the field goes out to the kohanim. So we're going to see there's a machlokas tanayim. That what does it mean? It goes out to the kohanim. Does it go out to the kohanim just automatically? It leaves the property of hekdesh and becomes the property of the kohanim, or do the kohanim have to pay money? Right. So we're saying now we're bringing the Mishnah that says that the kohanim have to pay money. A guy is makdish his field 20 years before. He's not poded for the next 20 years. Hits Yovel, so it switches from being hektish to being the Kohanim's entitlement, but the Kohanim have to pay for it. They have to be goal the field with 50 slime. So what do you see? You see that Yovel is not mafkia hektish. In other words, it's not like when Yovel hits, that the hektish loses its right, because you see the Kohanim have to pay for it. So therefore what? What was Shmuel's kavachomer by sale? He was saying if hektish uproots a prior sale, meaning it takes it from the purchaser. Reuven bought from Shimon. It takes it from Reuven and gives it back to Shimon. So you see that if Yovel knocks out a 20-year-old sale, it surely should block a sale during this year. But in order to have a parallel kavachomer by Hekdesh, we would need to say that if Yovel knocks out Hekdesh's ownership of something, then from 20 years before, then surely it should preclude it from having hektish now. That would be a good kavachomer. But it's not a valid kavachomer, it says the Gemara now, because what do you see? You see that Yovel does not knock out hektish. Why? Because the Kohanim have to pay. So it's not like when Yovel hits, hektish loses its entitlement. No, hektish keeps its entitlement until the Kohanim come and pay it. So therefore, you do not have a parallel kavachomer to sale. In sale, you say, sale knocks out 20 years before and takes it out of Shimon's possession gives it to Reuben or whatever, vice versa. I forgot what I said. But in the case of Hekdesh, you see it doesn't knock it out. So there's no Kavachomer. So the Gemara says, Shmuel Krib Shimon Svirle, the Amr Nechnasim Alon Nosnim. We're saying no. Shmuel does hold that there is a comparable Kavachomer, both by sale and by Hekdesh. Why? Because according to Shmuel, his view is that if I'm Makdesh a field 20 years before Hekdesh, 20 years before Yovel, and I'm not Podet, Yovel hits, it automatically goes out to the Kohanim. They don't have to pay anything. So what do you see? You see that Yovel is Mafkia Hekdesh, that Yovel knocks out Hekdesh. So now Shmuel's Kavachomer comes back. If Yovel knocks out Hekdesh, then if it's powerful enough to knock out a gift to Hekdesh 20 years ago, surely it's powerful enough to prevent a Hekdesh from taking place this year. So to the extent that Shmuel's Kavachomer, in other words, he holds his opinion in sale, so he holds the same opinion by Hekdesh because there is there's the same basis, the same Kavachomer to be had. Amud Beis, Chavtal and Amud Beis. So now, what about Rav? What's wrong with this Kavachomer? That's a good Kavachomer that you see it can knock out something from 20 years before, so it should be able to knock out what happens during it. So Savar Sof Sof Labaila Mikahadra LeKohanim Hudenafka VeKohanim Mishulchan Kavoa Kazachu. He says as follows: wait a second. When you're saying by a sale, what happens? Reuven sold to Shimon. Shimon gets it for 20 years. When Yovel comes, it goes right back to Reuven, so it goes back to the owner. So you see that Yovel takes it out of the possession of its 20-year owner and gives it back to its original owner. So it transfers possession. He's saying, Rav says, that's not what happens by Hekdesh. Because even if you're of the opinion that Hekdesh takes it out without the Kohanim paying anything and removes it from the possession, you're saying it removes it from the possession of the 20-year owner, which in this case is Hekdesh, and gives it to the Kohanim. So you see that Yovel is Mafkia Hekdesh. He says, that's not what's going on here. What happens here is that it belonged to Hekdesh, and then there's a different effect of Hekdesh, which is what? When Yovel hits, it goes from Hekdesh to say that Mishulchan Kavoa Kazachu, that I'm allowing the Kohanim to take it. But basically, the Kohanim are just stepping into the place of Hekdesh. So you see that Hekdesh, that Yovel is not Mafkia Hekdesh. Yovel just happens to be when Hekdesh moves it from the Berek HaBayis pocket to the Kohanim pocket. It lets the Kohanim take advantage of Hekdesh's ownership. But Yovel is not removing ownership from Hekdesh and giving it back to the original owner. It's removing it and saying, Kohanim, I'm going to let you use it. So Rav is going to say, even according to your view, that Kohanim don't pay, and it goes out to them automatically, that's still not a case of Yovel being Mafkia Hekdesh. It's just Hekdesh saying, until now, I used it for Berek HaBayis, or it was there for Berek HaBayis. Now I'm going to allow you, Kohanim, to benefit from it. Okay, continues the mission. So we learned Shmuel out of Kavachomer. My time at the Rav, what's the reason of Rav that he says you can be Makdish a Sadeh during the Yovel year and that it can take effect? The Amar Krah, because the Pasuk says, V'im Mishnas HaYovel. The Pasuk says as follows, V'im Mishnas HaYovel Yakdish Sadeo Ke'erkecho Yakum. So we say that if from the year of Yovel he's Makdish is Sadeh, we say, Ushnas HaYovel B'chlal. That it says, Umishnas HaYovel, from the year of Yovel, saying, from the year of Yovel and on, a person can be Makdish his field. So says the Pasuk, that Rav says, I see that you're able to be Makdish a field even during Hekdesh. Ushmuel, what does Shmuel say back to that? He says, Miksiv, V'im Bishnas HaYovel, or Im Bishnas HaYovel. Does it say, if during the year of Yovel he was Makdish it? Mishnas HaYovel Ksiv. It says, from the year of Yovel. Mishnas she'acher hayovel. So he's saying that, so they're arguing fundamentally, and how do I translate this pasuk? Mishnas Yovel, from the year of Yovel. So Rav says, Mishnas Yovel says, starting from the year of Yovel and going on, you can be Makdish your field. Shmuel says, no, in Mishnas Yovel, if it meant to say you could be Makdish it during Yovel, it should have said Bishnas Yovel, in the year of Yovel. Why did it say Mishnas Yovel, from the year of Yovel? Must be that it's only from the year afterwards. Now, just to explain a little bit better, so this makes sense, what Shmuel's saying is that there's two psukim. One says, Im Mishnas Yovel Yakdish, and the other says, V'im Acher HaYovel Yakdish. And so basically the idea is, if in the year Mishnas Yovel he's Makdish, he has to pay the full amount. If it's after Yovel, he has to pay the reduced amount, just the selah and punyan per year. So basically what's happening is Rav is saying, if I'm makdish it, so the pasuk that says in mishnas yovel says if I'm makdish it during yovel, I have to pay the full value. If la'achar yovel, then I have to pay the reduced value. So that achar yovel starts the year after. Shmuel says no. The year of Yovel, you can't be Makdish Hasada. If you try, it's ineffective. That's what Shmuel said in our Mishnah. So starting the next year is Mishnas Yovel, starting from the year of, that is after Yovel. So it says the Gemara, Bishlam alarav, hainu dechsiv im Mishnas HaYovel, v'im achar Yovel. So the Gemara says, okay, wait a second. So this makes sense. According to Rav, we're saying that Mishnas Yovel means from the year of Yovel, I can be Makdish it, then I have to pay the full value because there no years have elapsed. Im la'achar yovel, and the pasuk that says that it's after yovel he's makdishit, that he pays the reduced amount, so that starts in year one. So yovel year, you can be makdishit and pay full value, as we put it. Year one of the next yovel cycle, you start to reduce based on the years you finished. So that makes sense according to Rav. El Shmuel, my achar yovel. Okay, so if you're explaining that Shmuel says mishnas yovel means the year after yovel, so then when the pasuk says v'im achar yovel, so then what is that talking about? Because if you're saying mishnas is after yovel, then what is achar? So the Gemara says achar achar. It means after the year after. And again, because Shmuel is going to be of the opinion that if in the first year of yovel you're makdish your field, you're now going to have to pay the full value. So that's mishnas, the year after yovel. And v'im la'achar yovel, if it's after yovel, meaning the year that's after the year that's after yovel, meaning the second year, that's how he's going to understand. That's when you start to have the reduction in value. We'll walk through this, and this will hopefully make more sense, but that's machlokas Rav and Shmuel. So says the Gemara, Meisve, I'll ask you as follows, Makdishin ben lifnei yovel ben la'achar yovel, that we brought this brisa before, that said that you can be on earth before, we were just discussing the question of, can you be makdish in the 2 years preceding yovel? But now we'll get into the meat of this brisa, which says that you can be makdish before yovel or after yovel. But in the year of yovel, you can't be makdish. So that seems like a pretty clear statement in favor of Shmuel. Shmuel says you can't be makdish during the year of yovel. Rav says you can. So it says, V'im hikdish, the brisa continues, and if he is makdish it during the year of yovel, ain't a kedusha, it doesn't take effect. So that seems to be saying like Shmuel. So I'm l'chol Rav will tell you, ain't a kedusha bigurua, el kedusha, kedusha v'nosin and chamishim. So he said, Rav says, no, it doesn't mean that if you're, that you can't be makdish it during the year. It's saying that if you, you can't be makdish it and pay the reduced value, and if you go ahead and are makdish it, then you have to pay the full value. So that's how Rav will explain that brisa. So it says the Gemara Mechlad Lefnei Yovel Kedusha Ligo Begirua. So it says, wait a second. So in other words, we have two statements in this brisa. One that says we're makdish before Yovel or after Yovel. That's one thing, and the other says during the year of Yovel we're not makdish. So he says, if you understand it the way Shmuel understands it, if you're makdish it during the year of Yovel, then it doesn't take effect. So that's the second part. And if you're makdish it before or after Yovel, it does take effect. So that works well according to Shmuel. But according to Rav, the question the Gemara is going to ask here is as follows. That if you're telling me ain makdishin, that you're not allowed to be makdish it during the year, doesn't mean that you can't be makdish it. It just means that you can't be makdish it at a discount. So then that would imply that the first part of the Mishnah, which said that before or after Yovel, you can be makdish, it means you could be makdish with a discount, right? So that's how you would have to understand the two parts of the brisa. That doesn't work. Why? Because we said before, because if you're understanding the first part of the brisa, as Rav would have to, that it means that before and after Yovel, you can redeem it at the reduced value, so that implies, let's say the year before Yovel, you can redeem it at a reduced value, but hold on a second. Rav and Shmuel said that if it's within the 2 years preceding Yovel, we talked about this before, that you have to pay 50 slime. You don't get reduced value. So you can't explain that ain makdisha means you're not makdish it with Geruah, but the fact that before and after you can be makdish it is with Geruah, because we saw the 2 years preceding, you can't use Geruah. So therefore, it doesn't work. So this brisa is a kasha on Rav, because you therefore have to understand that when it says that you're not makdish it, you're not allowed to be makdish it during the Yovel year, and if you are makdish it doesn't take effect, is like Shmuel to say that it doesn't take effect, because that way you understand that the first part of the brisa that said before and after Yovel you can be makdish it, Yes, you can be makdish it, but if you're makdish it the year before Yovel, you're going to have to pay 50 slayim. So therefore, this brisa is a problem for Rav, and it seems to be a support for Shmuel. So Amalucha Rav, Rav says, you're right, this brisa is against me, but that's because this brisa is going like the Rabbanan. It says, ha money, who is this brisa Rabbanan? He, va'ano damri karebi, I say like Rebbe. What is this talking about? This is actually something we encountered about a week ago, a little less than a week ago. The Amar, it says, what's this halacha? Rebbe, the Amar, rishon v'rishon b'chal, shvi v'shi b'chal. Hachinami, I think it should say mishnas, one second. Hachinami mishnas, so he says as follows. We had this before. We talked about this. We talked about this, that the Pasuk says you shouldn't eat, chametz, mi yom rishon viad yom shvi. So, we said that Rebbe would learn that, the Rabbanon would learn that that really only covers the 5 days in between, because from the first day until the seventh day does not include the first day and the seventh day. So it only includes days 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. Those 5 days. So how do I know that you're not allowed to eat chametz the first and seventh days? Because we have another pasuk that says, that until the 21st day of Nisan, you can't eat chametz. So you see that you can't eat chametz even on the first and seventh days. Whereas, so that's, that was the Rabbanan. Whereas, Rebbe said, no, this whole thing is not hard. The Pasuk says, mi yom rishon v'ad yom shvi, is saying from the first day to the seventh day, includes the first day and the seventh day. So what do you see? That you see that Rebbe's of the opinion that when you say, mi yom rishon v'ad yom shvi, is including the first day and the seventh day. So Rav is answering and saying, you brought me a brisa that basically held like Shmuel, which is that, what is Shmuel's halacha? Shmuel's halacha is that Mishnas Yovel, from the year of Yovel, does not include the year of Yovel itself. So, and you brought me a brisa that was consistent with that idea, that you can't be makdish something during the year of Yovel. He says that's because Shmuel holds, we're going to see this in a minute, Shmuel holds, like, or at least that's what Rav is going to say, that the brisa that supports Shmuel holds like the Rabbanan, that Mishnas Yovel would not include the year of Yovel. But I hold like Rebbe, who just like he says, Mi Yom Rishon from the first day of Pesach includes the first day of Pesach. So when it says Mishnas Yovel from the year of Yovel, it includes the actual year of Yovel. So that's my answer for the brisa. You're right. You brought me a brisa that says you cannot be makdish a field during the year of Yovel, but that's because that brisa was going like the Rabbanan, not like Rebbe. I hold like Rebbe that Mishnas Yovel includes the year of Yovel. So the Gemara says, Ikarebi pudyun maya vidite. So he says, hold on a second. If you're telling me like it's like Rebbe, meaning that you can be makdish a field in the year of Yovel, so then what do I need this business of a pundit? All right, so let me just explain this thing again very quickly. And there's the idea that if someone sells a field, there's 49 years between Yovels that he can own the field. So if he's going to sell it with 10 years remaining, he needs to pay 10 out of 49. So how do you figure that out? So basically, what you do is, in other words, you have, I'm sorry, 10 out of 50, in other words, you have 10, I'm sorry, you have 10 years out of 49 times 50 slime, because you have to pay 50 slime for a full period. A full period is 49, so you're going to take 40, you're going to take 50 divided by 49 is going to come to 1 and a little bit. So what is that little bit? Is a punyan. A punyan is 1/48 of a sella. So what's going to happen? So we're going to say every year of the 49 years is worth 1 sella and 1 punyan. How much does that get you? That gets you 49 slime and 49 punyan. So wait a second. Punyan is 48 equals a sella. So you're going to end up with 50 slime and 1 punyan. So we learned that in Bechoros that gets used for the kalbon. That gets used for the money-changing fee. But the idea is, because you're dividing $50 by 49 years, so you end up with a sella and a pudyon. But ask the Gemara, according to you, who's saying that you can be makdish a field during the year of Yovel, so then you can be makdish it during the year of Yovel, and then there's another 49 years, so then when you're trying to figure out how do I divide 50 slime by 50 years, it's pretty easy. A sella a year. So why am I dealing with a sella and pudyon? So according to Shmuel, it's no problem, because you're not allowed to be makdish it during Yovel. So the 50 slime is for someone who's makdish it in the 49th year. So that's why you need to divide 50 by 49. But according to, if you're saying you could be makdish during the Yovel year, so divide 50 by 50. So the Gemara, v'chitema lesle, maybe you'll tell me that Rebbe, Tosus addresses why it's asking only on Rebbe, not just asking straight on Rav, but we don't have time. If you're going to tell me that Rebbe does not hold that maybe the Mishnah that says that you have a Sela and a Pudyon is only going according to the Rabbanan and not according to Rebbe, but that's not true, because Rebbe learned Tekdesha Shtaim Ushalo Shanim Ufnei Yovel. Someone is Makdish to feel 2 and 3 years before Yovel. Rebbe says, I say Nosen Sela Pudyon. I give a Sela and Pudyon. So you see that Rebbe buys into this concept of a Sela and a Pudyon. But if you're telling me Rebbe would learn Mishnas Yovel includes the year of Yovel, only I have 50 years to be podet, so why am I dividing $50 by 40? And I should divide $50 by 50 and make it an even seller. Says the Gemara, you're right. Rebbe does hold a seller in Pudyun, and he has to divide 49 by 50, but why? Because Rebbe, Rebbe Yehuda Sfirle, Damar Shnas Chamishim Olo Lekan Olo Lekan. So we dealt with this a little while ago. There's a fundamental machlokas. Is there 49 years of seven Shemitahs, and then there's a year of Yovel, and then you start the cycle again? Or is there 49 years, and then there's a Yovel year, but that Yovel year is also part of the first year of the next count? So we're saying that Rav says that he holds like Rebbe holds like Rebbe Yehuda. So that's why I have to divide 50 Slayim by 49 times, because there's only 49 years, even if I'm Makdish it during the Yovel year itself. There's that year of Yovel plus the next 48, because the year of Yovel counts for the 49. So the full value is for 49 years, even if you're Makdish it during the Yovel year. So hence, I need to take the value of 50 Slayim and divide it by 49, which gets me back to Sela and a Pundyon. But in other words, okay. So now the Gemara says, Lishmuel Lema Rabbi Karabban and Svirle. So we say, okay, according to Shmuel, we're going to have to say that Rebbe holds like the Rabbanan that Yovel is a standalone year. You have 49 years and then Yovel, because otherwise the Ikreb Yehuda Seloshte Pudyonus Mi Boy Lake. So he says, because otherwise I have a problem, because if Rebbe would hold like in other words, if he holds that there's a Sela, if Rebbe would hold like Rebbe Yehuda, and therefore, you're not allowed to be makdish during the year of Yovel. So Rebbe Yehuda holds that the first year of the 49 is the Yovel year. You can't be makdish it. Then there's only 48 years that you can be makdish and poda field. And what is it going to be? It's going to be 50 slime divided by 48 is going to be, every year is going to be one sela and two pindyonim, because then you'll get 48 selas and 96 pindyonim, which is equal to two slime, and you'll get to your 50. So the Gemara says, So you're going to say, you're right, according to Shmuel, that Rebbe, who holds that Mishnas Yovel would include the Yovel year, and still he says you needed a Sela opinion, he has to hold like the Rabbanan that in fact Yovel is a standalone year, and that's why you get to Sela and one Pinyon, not Sela and two Pinyonim, because according to Rebbe, you're allowed to be Makdish during the year, and you're going to divide. Therefore, you're going to divide. If you're saying according to Shmuel, you're not makdish during the year, but yet you hold that as a sela and pudyon, it has to be because he holds that there are 49 independent years to divide, independent of Yovel, to divide it by. I hope to get further, but we'll pick up here tomorrow, Mr. Shmuel.